Tonight, you're here with Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, where we cut through the noise and talk about what really matters to you, cutting through the grit and grime as only Sinati can do. We talk about business and society. That's what we do here, folks. Tonight, we're going to take a really hard look at what America could face in 2025. Yes, folks, I said it, 2025. Unreal, unreal. It's like time just wicks right by. From school safety concerns to policy changes under the upcoming Trump administration to the rising insurance costs and to an unpredictable real estate market, we're facing a rapidly changing world and a rapidly changing country. And where are you going to be in 2025? Sadly, we have to report tonight the tragic school shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, has forced us to reconsider what security and community mean to us in this modern society as we move forward into 2025 and a new presidential administration. As families navigate safety concerns and economic uncertainty, the question becomes, how do we raise children, protect our homes, and how do we build our future to be bright in an ever-changing landscape? The tragic school shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, has forced us to reconsider everything now. Again, we're talking about safety and family, and where are we going to be in 2025? We have to reconsider everything with the navigate school safety and to navigate the economic uncertainty. And the question becomes, how do we raise our children, protect our homes, and build our futures in an ever-changing society and an ever-changing America moving into the 2025? So joining me tonight is somebody that I go way back with, a friend of mine, but he is an entrepreneur. He's a business mind, a real estate expert, and an expert in so many other things. We're going to give him a chance to talk. His name is Frank Capuano, a real estate and insurance expert licensed in New Jersey, New York, and Florida with over 10 industry certifications, covering everything from mortgage lending to public adjusting to insurance brokering. His track record speaks for itself, and his motto, "In Capuano We Trust," has earned him a loyal following. Tonight, we're going to talk about how real estate, insurance, and society itself are evolving, and what it means for anyone to try to raise a family and build a career and to secure a better life for themselves and their family moving into 2025 in the changing America under the Trump administration. So let's break it down. Real estate in 2025, challenges and opportunities, market outlook. Home sales are projected to rise 7 to 12% in 2025, with median home prices expected to hit an all-time high, about $411,000 or so. Challenges are going to be facing the rising mortgage rates and the limited inventory continue to create challenges for the buyers and sellers alike. And our guest tonight is going to talk about that. The takeaway, home buyers need to prepare for increased competition, higher property values, while sellers must be strategic to maximize profits. The insurance crisis, again, our guest is going to get into this deeper, protecting what matters. And really what does matter to you may not matter to the next person. And that's what you really have to think. It's about personal discretion. Rising premiums, home insurance rates are skyrocketing due to natural disasters, inflation, economic volatility. Regional impact. In states like Texas and Colorado, wind and hail deductibles have doubled in just the past few years. Takeaway here, home buyers must stay proactive with their coverage plans to avoid being caught in an unprepared situation. Societal shifts, raising a family in 2025. Safety concerns. All part of, you know, folks, all of this part of the home buying process. It's a whole encompassing community. You have to look at the schools. You have to look at the neighborhood. You have to look at the services, public services, police services, fire services, all of the things in your community. And that's what our guest is going to talk a little bit more about. But when you have incidents that occurred in the Christian school, Wisconsin, you have to ask yourself, again, what do you value the most in school safety and in safety for your family? The rise in school violence is clear, including the tragic Abundant Life school shooting in Madison, has heightened concerns about public safety in general. Parental challenges. Families are grappling with how to balance safety, affordability, and community involvement. So what are we going to take away on this? We're going to talk about securing a stable home environment is more than just a financial decision. It's about creating a safe, supportive environment for your family and the future for your children and all children. Economic impact of the Trump administration. Policy changes. The return of the Trump administration in January of 25 brings the potential for major policy shifts in housing, taxes, and national security. Business and societal concerns. Economic policies could impact job creation, home value, and even insurance regulations across the country industry-wide. Business leaders and families must stay alert to policy changes and adjust their financial and real estate strategies accordingly. And our guest will help talk about that a little more. Connecting the dots. How do society, business, and families intersect? Because they do. It's all one thing. And that's what you have to take away with you here today, is that it's not just a financial, it's not just a safety concern, it's not an insurance concern, it's not a purchase of property. It is a holistic view, your entire family, the community that you're going to be in, and where you want to see yourself in the next couple of years, 4 years, maybe even longer. They're talking maybe a 12-year wave after this. The holistic approach, the intersection of real estate, insurance, and social policy creates a complex web of challenges. Future outlook, adapting to these changes will require resilience, strategic thinking, planning, and expert guidance. But don't worry, because expert guidance is what we're going to bring. The takeaway is to stay informed and be proactive and better equipped for a rapidly changing America. But before we bring in Frank, we got to take a short commercial break. Don't go anywhere. Otherwise, Capuano and Sinati are coming for you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks. And here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift. It's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports, changing lives one at a time.
Welcome back. Thank you very much. Got to pay the bills. Thank you for sticking out. Without further ado, let's welcome Frank Capuano in Capuano We Trust, Capuano Realty. Come on in, Frank. Let him in. How are you?
Good, good. How's everybody tonight?
Oh, man. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Frank. Me and Frank go way back, so this is professional and fun. A little bit of
thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So you were in the green room backstage a minute ago. You watched the opening monologue. What are your thoughts on this stuff? I'm going to go back to him. We can hit him. We can hit him point by point a little bit. What do you think about that crazy school shooting?
I think this world in general is we have a lot of sick people in this world, and it's very sad to turn on the news, see these mass shootings, these bombings in these other countries, how people just don't value human life.
They don't, right? That's a very good point. I was thinking the same exact thought. They don't value life. They don't value anything. It's really sad.
And having
you're a family man, a businessman, an entrepreneur. You dabble in public life a little bit. A lot of things to talk about, man. A lot of things to talk about here tonight.
Absolutely.
So why don't we give you like a few minutes to just tell the folks what you want to tell about yourself, a little bit about your background, where you're from, you know, et cetera. And then we'll just have some fun. We'll just go down these points and have a good night.
Okay. Well, everybody, my name is Frank Capuano, born and raised in New Jersey. I was in a trucking business for 19 years, and I had over 50 people working for me. We did a trucking throughout the East Coast.
What was the name of that? Capuano, right?
Capuano Trucking. Yep. We specialized in dedicated freight, dedicated refrigerated freight. So we had multi-temperatured trailers that would deliver dedicated freight to the warehousing throughout the Eastern Seaboard. And my passion was always real estate. From a young age, I got involved with real estate purchasing multifamily properties and renting them out, which
this was before you went to real estate school, right?
I'm sorry?
Was it before real estate school or
Yes, this is going back when I brought my first property when I was 18 years old.
Good for you.
That's what kind of set me up with the real estate from there on.
Like when you bought a rental property, like a rental for family, like a family residential property or commercial?
Oh, it was a two-family residential house.
Good for you.
Yeah, which I still have to this day. So 23 years later.
Wow. And you know, and I got a question for you on that. And it's off the cuff here. What would you say to somebody that wanted to do what you did coming in that you've been with this property for 23 years? You have had ups and downs, bad times, good times, or has it been good? Like, what would you give advice to somebody on that? Because that's really an interesting thing. You did that early on.
I would say it's a lot more good times than bad times. Unfortunately, you remember the bad times more than the good times in life.
Right.
But the good times definitely outweigh the bad times. The bad times, I feel like you could 80% was my doing. And I say that by I learned lessons the hard way.
Yeah, come to you all, right? That's a Jersey thing, I think.
Lessons I learned them. I didn't let them happen again to me.
I think that's key. That's key right there is being resilient and recognizing your mistake, accepting it, and then not letting it happen again. That's the difference between you and somebody that didn't make it, I think.
If you keep making it over and over, that's the definition of insanity. And
right.
That's not going to get you anywhere fast.
Yep. Very true.
You hear horror stories where people don't pay their rent.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did that happen a lot? Did it happen to you on this one?
Which has happened to me. Where I learned is, well, number one, the law has changed a little here. You can get people evicted a lot sooner and faster than you think. It's not like people tell you, oh, they were in the house 7 months without paying. Well, that might be true, but the reason being is the landlord didn't act as a business and they let the people slide where
– Right, right.
You know, it's a business. The minute right. they don't
But you gotta be human at the same time, and I think that's probably the hard part.
Yeah, and sometimes it might get people mad, but you gotta understand that you might get a bad tenant where they don't pay you, they might fall behind, and you might feel passionate for the person, but at the end of the day you have your own bills and you didn't buy a house to pay let somebody live rent free. So
very true.
Unfortunately,
on that.
You have to do the hard part and file paperwork with the court, get them in front of a judge, and they either get help or pay you or get out. I would say you can get somebody out within 70 days today.
Really?
You're in front of a judge within 2 weeks.
That's crazy. You know, especially when people were having the mortgage crisis and the foreclosures, people were into like 24, you know, 36 months. I mean, craziness. Once a month, but I guess it's a little different with mortgages, but I know it's such a backlog. Fascinating, fascinating. But I want to ask you, what do you think about the statistic saying anywhere from 7 to 12% rise home sales going up and the medium sale price over about 410,000? Does that sound about accurate to you, or is that some fluff that they're saying online?
Well, 2024 was the lowest sale volume in houses in over 35 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I think the interest rates played a major part with that, where they were so high, where people's payments would have went up so much where they rather just not move, or they would stay where they were renting.
Right.
Because 7% rate from a 3% rate, you know, raise your payment $1,500, $1,800.
And I think DJ was saying it's going to be about 6.75. Is that what you're hearing?
I feel like it's going to be a little lower. I feel like it's going to trade about 4.75 to really? 5.5, right in there. I think the new administration is going to try to do their best to get it down to that. I mean, people really got to realize, though, even at 7%, per se, it's not a bad interest rate. People think it's bad because they're comparing it to 2%. You got to realize people have 35% interest on their credit cards.
Right, right.
People buy cars that have 12% interest rate on cars they don't need.
Right, and they're not putting it out to 40 years.
and they're not putting enough.
They're making a minimum payment. They might be doing that, but
no, no, yeah. No. When I'm 42 years old, when our parents purchased a house, the interest rates were 15%. Granted, wow. Houses were $150,000. Their salaries are also a lot less. In the last 5 to 10 years, the most people became wealthy in life. You know, there's so many more millionaires today. There's a lot of people that are making a lot of money. Right. And there's a lot of people that are inheriting a lot of money, where people are smarter with their money.
Right.
And they're investing.
People also might be getting money faster in ways, and then they're not realizing how hard it is to actually make money. Like you and I know the hustle game back, you know, you got, and when we say hustle, you know, people look at you weird, but hustle, the old school term hustle, mean you got up, you hustled from place to place. You worked your butt off to get the job done to better your life. I think that today with the vast amount of social media and internet and everything that's out there, I think that the common person, or a lot of people are, I don't want to say common person, but a lot of people are going for internet and social media ways to make money. And they might be making big money fast, quick, and hurry, but is that going to last for the long term? Are they going to value the value of what they've earned? And is there going to be able to make that again moving forward year after year? As the change in technology, even with the rise in AI, I didn't even mention that, but AI, I mean, has that affected you, AI? As the people with having internet money and AI, is that affecting real estate and insurance on your end? Or even as a public adjuster, I got some stories I heard about that.
It's going to really help the market, where they have so much more data that they know about houses. Like, they're getting into houses, they're taking better pictures, they're doing more square footage. So when a house does sell, they know a lot more about the house. So it's just, the more information they have, it's going to make it a lot easier. And it might actually take some jobs out as like appraisals. And,
right. Because everybody's got the information at the touch of the finger. And that's got to be frustrating for you, because they know more than you, right? Have you experienced that?
Every buyer knows more than every realtor, they say.
Right.
You know, because they looked on Zillow, for instance. Meanwhile, Zillow's never even been in a house. Right. Zillow's using artificial intelligence to say, well, a house with 1,400 square feet and 2 bedrooms sold for $500,000, and that's what we think your house is. Meanwhile, Zillow does not know if they put an addition on a house. Zillow right. does not
it's
know what kind of
piece of garbage and beat up, and they haven't done any updates on it.
Yes,
We got to take a short break. Eric A. Sinati Unplugged right here on iHeartRadio. Don't go anywhere. Frank Capuano and God We Trust is going to be back when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Eric A. Sinati Unplugged right here on iHeartRadio. Frank Capuano, you still with us? How are you? Enjoy the break there?
Enjoy the break.
So we're going to hit you on questions about some insurance. What's your thought on insurance with the rising premiums, the skyrocketing rate? From what I understand, and you're the professional, understand due to natural disasters and inflation and economic volatility. What's your thoughts? What say you, Frank?
Let's be honest, paying insurance isn't something that we like to do.
Yeah.
But it's only a problem when it is a problem. And people need to understand, everybody that puts in claims today, fake claims, fake lawsuits, this affects the whole industry, and the insurance industries are not going to lose money.
Right.
They might have a bad year. They might have a bad couple months. They're not going to lose money. For instance, flood insurance. They keep making the maps bigger and bigger and bigger. The rise in cost in flood insurance, where they used to only have, say, 100 houses in the floodplain, now they have 1,000 houses. Now, each of those other 900 houses are now paying an extra $2,000 to $5,000 a year extra.
Right.
They do that for 25. They have 100-year plans, 500-year plans. I mean, at the end of the day, what do we care about in 500 years? Right. It's not going to have anything to do with, you know, five-year families down the line.
None of your bloodline is going to know that you even did that for them.
Exactly.
Even if you're in anybody in your family's in that property still, you know, that many years, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
People don't like insurance because, like you said, it's an unnecessary evil or a necessary evil. I don't know, however you want to see it. Because how many people, I know that we had the last hurricane up in North Carolina there, the mountain area actually, sort of, and they were kind of not prepared for that. FEMA was giving them like $30,000 max payment. And that was like the max payment on the flood, and that wasn't even going to cover anything. People lost everything.
It's a very sad circumstance. You know, meanwhile, you got the country giving away trillions of dollars to other countries.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, that's a whole other topic.
We're going to talk about it.
The insurance in general is my main thing would be to make sure you're insured. Make sure you have the right policy.
Right.
You got to realize, going to a Geico, going to these companies online, you ever heard of saying you get what you pay for?
Right.
You're limited to your deductibles. You're limited to your claims paid out. And again, it's only a problem when you really need it. It's unfortunate, but when you're down and out is when you need it, when you have a claim to submit.
Right.
Like, nobody wants a tree to fall on their house and knock out their roof and flood their house in a rainstorm. But unfortunately, things do happen. And you being a homeowner have to protect your assets. And you have to make sure you're doing the right thing.
What do you think of PMI?
PMI is it's mortgage insurance. You got to realize a lot of people fail paying and a lot of people don't fail. But again, the mortgage company is not in this to lose money, and they're not in it to be a property. They don't want to own your property. They just want to make the money they said they were going to make on you.
Right. But I feel like they're already getting, deductible. They're getting the interest rate. I think PMI is a joke.
You got to realize that usually it's big business that are buying these loans. Head funds are buying them. And they're buying them, selling them.
Right.
They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars on these transaction fees. It's like washing money. So it's kind of crazy how they let them do that, because they sell the loan and then they constantly are washing the money. I think they should come up with a better system. But who's to say that if I buy $50 million in loans and charge this much money and then sell them for a better interest, you know, who's to say it? But the question is, who's really backing this money?
That's what I'm saying. When I bought one of my properties, you know, the one I'm talking about, back in the housing crisis in like 07, I had PMI, eventually got rid of it. Before I made my first payment, I had already got another thing in the mail that they sold the loan. And I had another person to mail it to for the first payment. Then the second payment, I had got another notice in the mail that somebody else bought it. They're just buying and selling these things. You just become a commodity. And I think, like you said, you get what you pay for. I think the days of I know what you do, you know, cappuccino in your office and sit down and you really are really open with your clients, and you give them that one-on-one that they need. And that's why I'm glad that you're on the show tonight. Because like you're saying, the online and, you know, like Geico, what you were saying and that kind of stuff, you get what you pay for. Now, when they come to you, you're a public adjuster, you're the mortgage guy, the insurance guy, you know, you kind of holistically help them and holistically explain them what's good for the whole family. That's why I wanted to ask you too. how much do you get involved with the community and these where your properties are and people buying? You obviously get them. They want to know about the schools. They want to know about police service and fire and all the public services.
With the internet today, it makes it very easy for anybody to really look up areas and tell you the goods and the bads about them. Being a licensed realtor, you got to watch what you do say about some areas because they call it blockbusting. They call it
redlining or something, right?
Yes, and blockbusting. So you got to really watch what you say. As far as being involved with the community, I am involved with the community because I like to volunteer anywhere, even if it wasn't in my community. You know, I volunteer at dog shelters because I like animals. So when I'm fortunate to be able to volunteer, now I coach for 20 years, but now having a daughter, the coaching days are on pause, and I'm going to dance class. And
are you dancing with her?
I'm not dancing. I hope we dance, but not at the class. But just getting back to the insurance, it's very important that you make sure you got the right insurance. And you always got to think about your family. And if you have a family, especially making sure you're insured properly, because God forbid something happens to you and you're not able to pay your bills anymore. God forbid if you have a crazy accident and you pass, to make sure you have life insurance. Because at the end of the day, you want to make sure you're doing the right thing for your family and you're not leaving them in a major hole.
Right, which happens to a lot of people. Something happens, the sole breadwinner of the house, and next thing you know, something happens to them, they die, whatever, and then the family is now paying for that house and all the bills.
Yes, and these houses are going for $600,000-$800,000 every day, all day, and right. You're having $5,000 payments. The breadwinner passes away. Like today, most families, husband and wife, both work.
Right.
So the income is high. It makes it a lot easier. But like even in business insurance, people wonder why milk is $5, $7 a gallon.
They don't realize you got to buy fuel to drive the trucks, right? To get it's all logistics. Everything costs.
And then they think like, do I think gas should be cheaper? I do. But do I think gas being $3 a gallon is a lot of money? Absolutely not. Think about what it takes to get gasoline here in your car.
Right.
You have people that buy $7, $6 Starbucks coffees.
You said that. I learned that in school one time, where it's like, what do you pay for a bottle of water? And you compare that to 1 gallon of gasoline. You made a very good point there. You got an $8 Starbucks and you're complaining about, filling your tank up.
And I get it. It sucks spending $70 for gasoline in your car and driving around. But I mean, it's a mineral pulled out of the ground. Do I think it should be cheaper because of should America get paid for supplying all these countries with services and protection? Absolutely. Again,
military services, protection for them to get that. And we're guiding the ships in and out, protecting them from pirates and et cetera. And it's coming in as crude oil. And then, like you're saying, but it's a lot of things that have to happen for it to become fuel in your car. And a lot of people have to make money along the way and do things for it to get to your car. You make a very good point there. Don't go anywhere, Frank. We're going to take a short station break. Don't go anywhere. In Capilano, we trust. We'll be right back. Eric Nascimento, Unplugged.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back, folks. Eric Nascimento, Unplugged. Insights and perspectives, keeping it real, pulling back the onion, giving you the grit and grime of what's going on in law, national security, and society. I'm here with Frank Capilano. Bring him back into the show. Hopefully he didn't leave on the break. In Capilano, we trust. We've been talking to Frank with regard to real estate, insurance, entrepreneurial stuff. Right, there you are. I was wondering if you left us. Is he mic'd out? I don't hear him.
I'm live and well, brother.
Live and well. So let's have a little chat here and not talk so nitty gritty stats. Are you like the whole parental challenges is a whole big thing coming into 2025, not just in real estate, but in just in general. We're talking about families grappling with the balance of safety, affordability, community involvement, all of those things. What say you in moving into 2025 with the new administration? How do you see us faring as a country with families?
I think first and foremost, I'm very happy that Donald Trump won this election. There's a lot of people here that don't love him, but there's a lot more that do love him. I think life works its way out in weird ways. I'm still convinced that they cheated the last election. But at the end of the day, things happen for a reason. And him getting cheated out actually helped him. Now he's stronger, bigger than ever.
Yeah, and he got a mandate. Yeah.
He controls the House. He controls the Senate. And now he's the president. I feel that he's going to do the best job. I feel that he was the best for the world. I think he's going to bring back a lot of people. Hopefully the Democrats and the liberals come with open arms and
I think they will
adjust. And I really think the good he's going to do, they're going to have no option but to do good.
How can they say no? I mean, he got the popular vote. He got all the swing states, all of them. I mean, he even got, ABC, NBC, ABC, George Stephanopoulos, they had to pay $15 million plus court costs and lawyer fees that he's going to use towards his presidential library. I mean, that says a lot for the legacy, mainstream, falling apart media. And he's got more cases coming forward. I think that's going to be, is going to be a major step. And that's huge that they paid that money before he even got in office. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, they actually had to pay the money because if they didn't, they were going to be hit with so many different charges and different slander. And they just wanted to save face with them, I believe. You know,
I mean, it's the right thing to do. I mean, what are you going to do when more than 50% of America, and he won the popular and the electoral college and in the Senate and the House? I mean, how can they be against him?
Listen,
right?
The American people spoke.
They put their foot down.
Do I agree that Donald Trump does say some crazy things sometimes?
And yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like he should just tone it down. He's done a great job. He don't need to tell people how good of a job he's doing. His record is speaking for himself. So I feel like he turns off a lot of people as well. But this time around, I think it's going to be a big difference. You got to realize what the country has done to him, what they have lied.
All those felony charges and the fake news stories.
They wasted millions and millions of dollars on the Russia dossier.
Right, and look at this, selling off the border fence right now. Selling off the border fence, knowing that we're going to have to rebuy it. And nobody realized that is our money. That is money out of our children's mouth.
It's money for inner city communities to help them with the crime,
right,
to get them new water pipes. You know, exactly. Why in America is
pay a teacher a decent salary?
Have lead in their water pipes still.
Isn't that crazy?
Why are they taking away programs from inner city kids that they need help?
Right.
You know, and again,
hey, speaking of that, let's throw a plug. Project 201. Our friend Sean was on the show. Remember Sean Kelly?
Yes.
Project 201. I know you're involved with that as well. I had to throw a plug out there. Shout out to Sean.
And big Project Sean is doing big things, man. Project 201 is getting jumping off the ground. I see really big things in 2025 for Project 201. And I'm looking forward that I'm a part in that with him with that. And again, that's something to keep your eye out for. And that's a great That's a great program.
So Project 201 is a mentoring program dealing with sports and in the inner city.
Correct.
For children, for kids without a father, in bad home situations. It's a great program. We featured it on the show before, just for the folks that didn't know. But we're going to run the commercial anyway when we have the show on here. So, Frank, I got some pre questions for you here. How do you feel on that? You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. So, Frank, as we approach 2025, real estate is showing signs of recovery. How do you think the next year will play out for the buyers, the sellers, and the market as a whole? You don't have to get into crazy statistics. Just what's your gut? What's your gut knowing that Trump's coming in? And
my gut feeling is Donald Trump's administration is going to try to do their best to lower the interest rate. In turn, that's going to get a lot more people looking to sell and a lot more people looking to buy. People that want to sell are going to be able to afford their next new house. And people that are going to be afraid to buy are going to jump on the opportunity, knowing that the rates can always go up. And they should have jumped on the opportunity a couple of years back.
So what do you think on that? And it's a little like follow-up question, a little small one. What do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be like another 2007 housing thing where they're going to credit? Is the credit going to be an issue? Because we know that people have been hurting over with the numbers and credit scores.
People have been hurting, but people also been doing great. A lot of people, I believe, were just trying to take advantage of the COVID and understand that a lot of people also made a lot of money. At the end of the day, people are going to be want to be educated. They're going to want to do better. They're going to want better for their families. So I feel like it's going to only get better. You will have some doing worse, but understand with a lot more people in this world, you're going to have higher numbers on both sides.
Right. And I think the more people that are going to get into it, it's going to help drive the cost down.
I think with the low inventory of houses, the house prices are going to stay high. And I think like the areas, understand that you can't put more air. You're not going to have more beachfront property. You're not going to have more suburban living. What they are going to do, areas are going to expand, and there's plenty of growth out there. You just need to move away from the hot spots now and find the next trending area.
The next trending area? What do you see as the next trending area?
I rather talk
in the metro area, but you see the big scope.
There's a couple I have on my radar. I rather talk about that more in detail. I don't want people going to my areas yet that I haven't.
I don't want you to put out your I don't want you to give tips to our listeners and viewers, but don't ruin your business. How about insurance? We were talking about before the numbers fluctuating, but what do you give to people, to the families, to navigate the rising costs but maintaining the proper coverage? How do they do that?
Just make sure you have the right coverage.
How are they going to do that? Who do they obviously in Capilano they trust, but
speak to your broker and ask the right questions. What happens if I own a small business and we have a flood and we don't have power for 2 days and I lose all my cold cuts, all my meats in a freezer? It's hundreds of thousands of dollars of meats. What happens if I can't do business because of COVID and I can't operate? Make sure you have the right coverage, breakdown coverages, and actually go to a professional. Understand that you're going to pay a little more, but you're going to get what you need and be able to live and survive in bad times.
And that's what you offer to your clients. You give them like the full like wraparound service of like everything that there is. You get what you pay for. I mean, I know I've personally seen Frank folks out there. I've seen Frank do his business. He's really, really, you cater to the people. I think you're a little over giving too much, I think.
Well, what I do is I give them what, I don't tell them what they want to hear. I tell them what they need to hear.
Right.
And they're going to make the decision. Right. I'm going to make sure I'm going to tell them what kind of policy they're getting and what they expect with it. You know, just way I don't want to, I turn away a lot of business as well. Dude, you know, yeah. I don't want to insure somebody and underinsure them where it could really tank their business. You know,
right.
If a couple thousand dollars is going to make or break their business, they need to look at their business model and figure out a different avenue. Yeah.
So we've seen societal shifts like the increasing school violence and economic uncertainty. And families across America are feeling this in every aspect. But how do you think these changes are shaping how families live, work, and raise children? Compare that to previous years, maybe even the first Trump administration, and then now to Biden and back to Trump, and maybe as a going back to childhood. How do you see that in previous years? How are they living, raising children, and doing all this in a new age?
Society itself needs to, you got to blame the parents. I mean, these kids don't know any better. They let them listen to rap music. I'm a fan of rap music. I'm not against rap music. I'm also an adult, and I know what's right and wrong.
Right. There are certain things that shouldn't be said. You know. I'm with you.
Kids, they have these video games that are, I mean,
so realistic. Yeah.
They're so realistic, and I mean, I'm not a gamer. I played video games growing up, but I played Mario Kart. I played Street Fighter. You know,
I remember that game. Yeah.
I didn't have AK-47s putting red dots on people's heads and blowing them off.
Unbelievable.
And unfortunately,
AI. I mean, that's not even in my question to you, but we talked about on another show previously about the guy that committed. I think it was a guy that committed suicide. A kid. A 13 or 14 year old boy, I'd want to say a boy, committed suicide because he was in a relationship with a chatbot. It was an AI chatbot who he committed suicide over it. I mean,
yeah, and I think like the parents themselves, they want to act like they're cool. They want to be their friend.
Right.
You know, the parents are on their phones more than the kids, and you know, don't get me wrong, it's easy to just give the kid the phone and go about your day and do what you want to do. But
you have to have an equal balance so they know technology and understand how to use it. But it's not a crutch. It's not a support system.
I think the technology for the kids is just too advanced. I mean, these kids, just a hint on like say, for instance, pornography. They can go on these iPhones and it's just not healthy for a kid, and it's not healthy for these young kids, and they don't respect. I feel like they don't respect each other. They don't respect their families, and they all want to get involved with what they're listening to and doing, all for the wrong reasons. The school safety, I think every school in America should have multiple. If it's not police, they should have people that are certified and able to carry guns, and the buildings are locked down and they're secured. I mean, because it's no way to go into a school knowing if something's going to happen. Now, these school shootings are fairly, you know, new, 25 years. I feel like the first one was Columbine.
And then Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I remember I was in high school at the time, and they've only gotten worse. And the publicity that they're giving to these people are crazy. And they got these copycat people that want to do it. And in reality is like, if you see something, I really feel like you got to say something, and they got to come up with better programs.
And I think like you're saying, the video games desensitizes people to playing with the weapons. They don't realize when, because it looks so real. Virtual reality, right? So it's like real, and it takes away that emotional feeling that you get when you have that weapon up and somebody's going to pull that trigger. That's a human life you're exterminating.
You know, I mean,
you have to think very hard before you do that.
You have people praising the kid that just killed the CEO.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, they're making a joke out of it. Like,
they were cheering for him. I saw
this. This is a father. This is a husband.
Whether or not you like the business he was in, it's a necessary business. It is what it is. He's a human being.
He's not deserve
to be shot. And you know, it's funny you brought that up. That the CEO had a security detail that was with him all the time. On that particular day, he didn't have his detail. I wonder if that's going to be something that people are going to talk about. Because he had a security detail, and that particular day he was speaking. And he went out and didn't have his detail. And this guy just happened to be right there. Too coincidental for me, I think.
Honestly, I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. I feel like the government, I don't like saying, like, to make me sound crazy.
But right. Like, you don't want to be proposed as a conspiracy theorist, but truth is.
I mean, but it's like, it's 2024. We had a balloon travel across the whole country.
Oh, and that actually makes me think. You're in Droneville right now. You want to talk about that? You're in New Jersey. You're in the hot spot of drones. What say you on that? I didn't even think about that.
You got to realize people around this area will just go fly their drone right now just to start up shit.
Right. Yeah, but that's what they do. Yeah.
The reality is there has been drones flying over. And what are they doing? But not only that, I just want to know, like, I believe in the planes that have chemtrails. By me, yeah. I post them all the time on my Instagram. I mean, 400 to 500 planes fly over my head a day.
But why do you really think it's a chemtrail or a contrail? I don't think it's a deliberate thing.
Oh, no, I believe it's 100% deliberate thing.
Do you listen, really?
I have pictures on my Instagram. They fly them in patterns. They're straight lines. Where are these planes going? Why aren't all these planes going?
Well, the ones you're thinking of, I know on national security topic, they do run in grids. They are bombers going in grids. They fly in grid.
It's been a known thing that they do cloud seed, that they're trying to save the ozone layer, but they don't know what it is doing. Now, do I think that it's food dye that is bad for our kids? Do I think it's all these hormones they push? I think it's all the fake corn syrup and sugars? And
Maple syrup isn't even maple syrup anymore. If you go and pick up an Aunt Jemima or whatever, and you read it, it's not real.
It's not real. Everything we do is not real. Like, and again, this can make me sound crazy, but how many chicken wings? Think about this. How many chicken wings are in this world?
I was thinking, I talked about this with somebody recently about burgers. How many cows are out there to make beef? But I actually talked about it in another show where they actually are now cloning meat, and it's very safe, and they're not having to kill the animal. Kind of like when they take the stem cell and they can recreate body parts for a human, you know, when they take stem cells in birth. They're doing that with beef, and they're making beef and chicken without having to kill, and they're making a lot.
Yeah, and it just comes to show is like, how come there's so many? Granted, there's a lot more people every year. The world's getting a lot more people. How many people are like, I don't know if it has anything to do with autism today. I don't know if it's the milk they put in it. Young girls getting their periods earlier, you know, developing earlier. Right. Cancers earlier.
You know, and if you want to go down a conspiracy track and you're talking about the hormones and the kids, I ask this question. Is this transgender thing, it's only been a recent conversation in the big numbers. Is it something that is being forced? Is it something that's happening due to what you're saying with hormones and our food? Or is it just because society's saying, hey, it's cool, just do it?
My thing with that is young kids don't understand life yet. They need to experience life. How are you going to just, because you feel a certain way today, think you're going to feel a different way in 4 months from now?
Right. And you can't undo that. And, you know, the numbers of suicide post-transition is alarmingly high.
It's very sad and very high. I feel like, I mean, if you want to do that, you can't buy a pack of cigarettes till you're 18, but yet you could go to a doctor, go to your teacher and say, I want to be a boy or a girl.
And they don't tell the parents, right?
They can't tell the parents.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Like, but yet you want to tell me if my kid drew a picture of something or
you want to tell. And they call Child Protective Services on you for something stupid the kid said and did, but then it's okay for them to tell them if you're a little boy and you want to be a girl, it's okay.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you. Who reports them for doing that behind your back?
It all comes down to the parents. It all comes down to, you know, a lot of situations like that. They had there's it's deeper than just thinking that. They might have been sexually assaulted. They might have had, you know, a traumatic thing happen to them in their life where that's why they're now doing that. And again, there's there's science on this. There's, you know, there's numbers on it, but it is fairly new. Curious to see how this world is taking it. But again, if that's how you feel, so be it. But I don't think they should let kids remotely do anything till they're 18. As in, right. If you can't go get a tattoo, a piercing,
before
that. But yeah, you could do something life altering. You know, I mean, yeah, at least a piercing, take it out. A tattoo, you can cover it or maybe get it removed. You know, I think again, let kids be kids. You know, kids shouldn't have to worry about All I know is I didn't know if my teacher was gay or lesbian back in the day.
And I didn't care. It wasn't even anything we talked about or thought about.
No. And now if I look at it, I could say, well, yes, he is gay.
Right.
And she was a lesbian, but it was irrelevant.
We didn't even know about it.
They're right. Categorizing this and they're making kids think things that they shouldn't be thinking because their minds can't absorb it and understand it.
And they're normalizing everything too.
And so everything's normal.
It's abnormal, but if you're mainstreaming everything, so then everything is okay. And not to say what your choice in life is not, we're not questioning your choice in life, but we're questioning when. And it's a discussion that the parent should be having with the child, not the school and the child.
Exactly.
And that should involve the parent. So Frank, I got a question for you because we're running on a hard close here. Final question. I want to ask you your slogan, "In Capuano We Trust." I know what it means, but look right into that camera and tell everybody why Frank Capuano is the guy you call when you have real estate, insurance, or any other questions like that.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I say and say what I do. You know, I take my my life very seriously, and I understand people want to get ahead in life, and I love to get on a journey with them and do what we got to do. I'm looking forward to a very big 2025 and so on. Please, people, anybody listening, check me out.
Give your name and number for the radio listeners. Give them all your contact information. It's on the ticker for those that are watching at home. But Frank, can you give us information?
My Instagram is FrankCap82. My Facebook is Frank Capuano.
How do you spell that for the listeners?
CapOano. It's Frank, CapOano. Instagram is FrankCap82. Just message me. You heard the show. And if you ever need tips or any questions about anything,
right,
I'm here to help you.
Frank, we're going to be having you on a lot more in 2025. We're going to have you talking about a couple different things. So get used to being around. But we do thank you for coming in tonight. Folks, Frank Capuano and Capuano We Trust, Capuano Realty Group in New Jersey, Frank Capuano Insurance. What don't you do, Frank? You do everything.
It's not, I don't say I'm a master at everything. One reason why I am good at what I do is I learn the process and the whole entire process.
Right.
I am a licensed junior appraiser, but that comes with me buying properties and selling them, knowing where I got to be at, as well as pricing them for a client. If they're selling them, you want to price them right. If they're buying them, you want to know what kind of offer to put in. Insurance.
You give them a full, like I said before, wraparound. You cover everything. I mean, they come to your office and you can give them everything they need, and you'll tell them what they need to hear in every step of the process. I think that's why you're going to be an integral part of multiple shows in the future.
All these fields I'm in, everything's in black and white.
Right.
You're going to know the answer. You're going to know what you need to know beforehand. It's just people go with people that they know, they trust. And there's a lot of money to be made in this stuff. And that's how people survive. And
are you taking on any agents underneath you in insurance or in real estate?
Absolutely.
And if somebody's interested in joining your team, how do they contact you for that?
Hit me up Instagram, Facebook, email, CapuanoGroup@gmail.com. Send me your resume. And we're licensed in numerous states. And we're here to always grow and teach you the ropes.
Awesome, Frank. Thank you so much for coming. Catch you in the green room. Don't go anywhere. We're going to close it out. Thank you again for coming in tonight. Frank Capuano, the Capuano Realty Group. All right, folks. Thank you very much. For Frank, I think it was very informative. And you're going to see him a lot more as we move forward into 2025. We got some big things that we're brewing as we speak. So real estate and insurance and the American family are facing rapid change. If there's one lesson from tonight's conversation, it's that staying informed and prepared and proactive is no longer optional. It is essential. Okay, folks, it's essential. A big thank you to Frank Capilano for sharing his expertise and his unique perspective. And to all of you tuning in, I'll leave you with this. 360, 365, keep your head on a swivel. 180 forward, 180 backwards. Always paying attention, because danger doesn't take a day off, and you shouldn't either. So you know what, folks? Keep that in mind, because Frank and other people are always out there to help you, but there are people always out there to harm you, and you have to be prepared. Always paying attention, because danger is always lurking beneath the surface, and you need to be paying attention. It is your job to pay attention. You can't rely on other people to do it for you. Here on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, we seek truth. We crush complacency and break down what really matters and give you what you need to hear. Stay sharp, folks. Stay resilient. And remember, danger is always lurking, so you must be ready. God bless America. Thank you very much for coming. Eric A. Sinati, Unplugged, iHeart. See you tomorrow.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks. And here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift. It's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports. Changing lives one at a time. We'll be right back.